This is Safety on Tap. I'm your host, Andrew Barrett, and since you're listening in, you must be a leader wanting to grow yourself and drastically improve health and safety along the way. Welcome to you. You are in the right place. If this is your first time listening in, good on you for joining us and for trying something different to improve. And welcome back to all of you wonderful regular listeners. Today I'm joined by John Green, who I call the Zero Harm Killer in this chat. If that doesn't make sense to you, Google him and you'll see what I'm talking about. Or probably easier to just settle into this interview and you'll find out more. I've got my takeaways at the end and a special bonus designed to better help you. Here's John. John Green from Langer Rook, welcome to the Safety on Tap podcast.
Thank you, mate. Good to be here.
One of the main reasons why I wanted to bring a conversation to our listeners with you is that a number of people that I've spoken to sort of characterize you like the Zero Harm Killer, like Jack the Giant Killer.
Yeah.
Is that something that you get often?
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. You say an awful lot of things in your life and people remember you for either, you know, zero harm or safety is broken, these somewhat glib phrases. But listen, these things are said with sincerity. I say these things because I'm genuinely concerned about where the profession or where the function of safety is headed, and the sort of binary thinking that we're getting locked into. So I say these things, not as glib, off-the-cuff sort of, Trump-type remarks. I say them because I'm genuinely concerned about where we're headed as a profession. And in order to stimulate debate and get people fired up and interested, I think it's necessary every now and then, to throw in an inflammatory remark and try and get people to engage. And that's where these sorts of comments come from. I do firmly believe, however, that zero harm is not the destination for safety any longer. And I'm not saying for a minute that what we've done for the last 30 or 40 years has been a waste of time, because quite clearly it hasn't. It has been extremely effective in reducing accident rates and reducing the number of people who've been injured at work. But I think that no matter how successful it's been in the past, is not the tactic for the future. Our organisation, the reason we decided to ditch a commitment to zero was quite simply that we were struggling to get returns on an ever decreasing amount of deficit that we were dealing with. We were having less and less accidents and there less and less opportunity to learn from, and that wasn't a particularly productive place for us to play anymore. In addition to that, we were still being surprised, and most other organizations are in the same boat, of being surprised by major accidents that come totally out of the blue with no warning. And these accidents don't happen on projects or parts of the business where lots of other little accidents are happening. These accidents happen on parts of the business or projects that otherwise would probably have won awards for safety performance. So that's the reason, those are the reasons we moved away from safety and why I have made this somewhat impassioned plea, I think, to acknowledge the success of the past, but to recognise that the future looks a little bit different for us.
So what is it about that particular situation? Because I'm sure that there are plenty of people listening who think, I get it, and I've been thinking it for a while. So what is it about John Green and what is it about Lang O'Rourke that meant that you stuck your head above the parapet, so to speak, and actually took that voice to the world when so many other people were thinking it?
Well, I think other people have been thinking about it for quite a while. I think the difference that we decided upon was, how do you operationalize it? So how do you turn these academic theories into practice? How do you form this into something that project leaders and frontline workers can effectively use? And I don't think anyone had done that before. So our success was, one, as a privately owned business, we are relatively free to try what we want to try. And certainly the owners of the business are really keen that the business innovates in all areas that it operates in. And normally that manifests itself in engineering innovation, but we're just as liable to innovate in safety as anything else. So we were free to try something different. And we had a lot of really good minds around, so how do you turn these academic theories into practice? How do you turn a principle that says safety is not about the absence of negatives, so it's not about continuing to manage down the number of deficits that you have, because that becomes increasingly problematic in organizations that are not having accidents. What is it you look at? How do you manage that? How do you create procedures and practices and an approach around that? I think that's the difference that we made. I just happened to be in the right place, I suspect, at the right time when there was a number of other people trying to do the same, and just happened to get together with those folks and we took it forward. So it was, you know, it was luck, as an awful lot of things in this business are.